Welcome back to the Frontiers of Psychotherapist Development podcast. As we've taken a break for the last handful of months, we are now back to the so-called season two of the Frontiers podcast. In the 1950s, a fairly unusual, bespectacled, and slender Lieutenant Gilbert Daniels was tasked to solve one of the biggest problems in the U.S. Air Force. A botanical-loving man, not the kind of person you associate with the testosterone-drenched lads you would expect of aerial combat, was at the helm of attempting to stop jet fighter planes from falling from the sky. One retired pilot once said, "You never knew if you're gonna end up in the dirt." At his worst point, 17 pilots crashed in a single day.
Frontiers Radio.
You're listening to Frontiers Radio, a podcast for psychotherapists who value deep learning and individualized development. On the show, you acquire cutting-edge knowledge that pushes beyond the edge of your development. Deliberate practice principles are pulled together from the studies of expertise and expert performance in a variety of professional domains, including cognitive sciences about how we learn, behavioral economics, aesthetic arts, and of course, from the front lines of psychotherapy research. It's my job to help you stay at the bleeding edge so that your clients reap the benefits as you become a deep learner. Lieutenant Daniels had a simple job: measure the body dimensions of 4,063 pilots. Armed with a major in physical anthropology from Harvard, the Air Force believed that the design of the cockpit can help to improve the dismal rate of keeping the planes in the air. However, Lieutenant Daniels had suspected a theory no one in the Air Force had ever crossed their minds. Holding on to his private conviction, he was all set to find that out. He began to measure the average of 10 physical dimensions of the pilots, which were believed to be most relevant for the cockpit redesign, including height, chest circumference, and sleeve length. This formed the dimensions of the average pilot, with a 30% range given for leeway. So, for example, even though the average pilot height was 5'9", the range was 5'7" to 5'11". The consensus among the Air Force researchers were that the vast majority of pilots would fall in the average range. Besides, these gentlemen were pre-selected because they appeared to fit the average size. The numbers were crunched. Lieutenant Daniels now was able to test out his hunch. Even he was stunned. Out of 4,063 pilots, not a single pilot fit within the range on all 10 dimensions. Zero. In other words, if you designed a cockpit to fit the average pilot, you actually designed it to fit no one. In 1952, Daniels went on to publish his findings entitled The Average Men. The recommendations discussed was radical at that time. The environments needed to fit the individual, not the average person, because the average person didn't exist. This was when things began to turn around. Armed with a new guiding principle of individual fit, 10 different physical dimensions of 4,063 fighter pilots later, a new and radical idea was about to be born. However, airplane manufacturers balked at the possibility, stating that it would be too expensive and impractical to customize. But to everyone's surprise, aeronautical engineers were able to innovate both cheap and easy to implement engineering solutions. This gave birth to the adjustable seat. Along with adjustable foot pedals, helmet stripes, and flight suit, pilot performance began to soar. While this may seem fairly obvious to you and I, given that all automobiles are fitted with adjustable seats these days, we fail to recognize the toughest part of this US Air Force story, letting go of old ideas. Indeed, learning new ideas is valuable, but only if we are willing to challenge our assumptions. Fit the individual, not the average. So the question is, how do we design our therapeutic approach to be calibrated for the individual person instead of trying to fit our approach to the average person, which happens to not exist? Go one more step further. How do we invest our time and development efforts to learn deeply on a personal way instead of going to a workshop that teaches a particular way of working and then be told to adapt it to our setting and style? What if we flip it the other way around? What assumptions need to be undone or at least called into question? What does it really take to create adjustable seats in our therapeutic approach? So here's another story to consider. In March 2012, three Japanese students were visiting Australia and they decided to drive to North Stradbroke, which was guided by their GPS system at that time. And for some reason, following the GPS system on their visit in Queensland, these three students drove into the sea trying to get to North Stradbroke Island. Unbeknownst to their GPS, their route was blocked by 14 kilometers of the Pacific Ocean. Eric Hoffer, the American moral and social philosopher, said, "In times of change, learners inherit the earth, while the learned find themselves beautifully equipped to deal with a world that no longer exists." So I believe that the social science, by and large, have been misled. We have been misled by a mental model of the world that is based on what we wished the world to be versus what reality really is. Here's one of the ways we have been misled. I call this the pill model versus the continuous calibration model. So the pill model. The pill model says, one, there's a right way of delivering treatment from the outset, often what we call what works for whom. Two, you scale that solution to other practitioners. Three, you stick to the method, increase adherence to the protocol, and God forbid, do not adjust the treatment for fidelity's sake. And finally, more fundamentally, we make the conflation that social interventions should work like medical interventions. I mean, think about this. Recall most of the models of psychotherapy that we are taught right from our schooling years. A pioneering therapist found a particular way of working that worked for that person. Then he or she goes to create some variant of train the trainers so as to scale that theory about humanity, human development, and design specific approaches to apply to the rest of the world. The Aaron Becks, the Marshall Linehans, the Peter Levines, etc. And what happens? We see a decline effect in terms of outcomes over time. Instead of the pill model that is predetermined for what works for whom, we should take a continuous calibration approach. The continuous calibration model says, one, use timely data so as to adapt and learn on the go. Two, encourage to tweak not simply to adhere. 3, ensure that whatever you're measuring, that the measure must match the mission. The measure must match the mission. In other words, measure what is of value and not just value whatever measures we are told to use. Take the time to think about what measures are really important for the clients that we're working with. And 4, finally, continuous calibration works when we take the feedback in an ongoing basis. We take that feedback and feed it forward to our clients in real time. So beyond our clinical content knowledge, let's also teach for adaptation, improvisation, and real-time responsiveness. This is the conversational nature, the art of therapy, and not get obsessed with the pill model of best solutions right on the outset, because a pill model approach just doesn't scale as we hope it to be. In 1985, in one of her last interviews with the late Richard Simon from Psychotherapy Networker, Virginia Satir was asked what she thought about neuro-linguistic programming, or NLP, which was modeled after her and 2 other well-known master therapists, Fritz Perls and Milton Erickson. Here's what Satir said. I would not want to learn NLP. If you want to know the truth, I'm not so sure I could learn it. There is no manual for this. Each individual's therapeutic style is an uncharted territory. End quote. Perhaps that is what Carl Rogers meant when he said he is not a Rogerian, or when Carl Jung says, thank God I'm Jung, not a Jungian. Aptly enough, the legendary psychiatrist Milton Erickson, who was the other person that was studied for NLP, had this to say: develop your own technique. Don't try to use somebody else's technique. Don't try to imitate my voice or my cadence. Just discover your own. Be your own natural self. It's the individual responding to the individual. I've experimented with trying to do something the way somebody else would do it, and it's a mess. End quote. Go your own road. In fact, tweak, adjust, and calibrate as you go, and then grow your own road. And as you go forward, take that adjustable seat with you. So at the time of this recording, in the month of May 2021, I know that many of us are still practicing in various forms of lockdown modes, and we're not as free as we were to roam around the pre-COVID days. So I hope such content will serve you well. And if you're up for increasing the depth of your learning and you want to extend your skills, taking it one notch further, do check out our course, the Deep Learner Web-Based Workshop. So here's how the Deep Learner Workshop format goes. Instead of getting one lump of information or like a live webinar recording, this is specifically designed to be dripped into your inbox from the day that you register. So from the day that you sign on, every 3 days for the next 72 days, you'll be given new pieces of bite-sized information and tips to help you in your journey to become a deep learner by weaving in things that you come across and finding a way to translate that into clinical work by serving your clients better. And one other thing to take note about the Deep Learner course is that it is not subscription-based. It's a lifetime access. So you could do this in your own pace and you're not paying monthly. It's just a one-off fee. If you are interested, go check out at darylchow.com. That's darylchow.com/courses. darylchow.com/courses. And if you're hearing this, and if you are also not yet signed up to the Frontiers of Psychotherapist Development newsletter, which is dripped into your inbox, 5 practical tips every Friday. You can also go into that blog to subscribe, and that is at darylchow.com/frontiers. In there, you would be able to see also a special discount code for people who are on the Frontiers list. I hope to see you at the starting line.
Frontiers Radio.
Thank you for listening to Frontiers Radio. If you like this podcast, don't forget to subscribe to wherever you listen to your podcasts on. And also, don't forget to spread the love and share with colleagues in the helping profession. Thanks for listening.